Right. I mean, this is one more reminder that infrastructure in the U.S. means a lot more than roads and bridges, although I would remind everybody that the American Jobs Plan has a huge amount of resources to improve roads and bridges in this country, among many other things.
Roads and bridges. That's a Pete Buttigieg, the mayor there, Mayor Pete. Actually, he's D. And I'm saying the way that Lawrence O'Donnell says it.
Yes.
And we all know that his pronunciation.
Yeah.
I mean, the man is Shakespearean.
They're spot on.
In the way that he pronounces names, Kane. I mean, there really is no one better. There's no one better than Lawrence O'Donnell. Welcome to the show, everybody. So I have a million things for you today. And I'm going to try my very best just to hit everything. But there are a lot of moving pieces. And it's a lot. And I mean, I didn't even put the entirety of my notes and everything. I didn't even put all of it on my rundown today because there's just too much to get into. So right off from the start, I want to kick it off with not something that I read last night. Actually, it was something I saw shortly before radio began today. And that has to do with this New York Times piece, and the way that they were describing, you know, you want to have a conversation about infrastructure in the way in which the New York Times was discussing actual infrastructure. Because yesterday we discussed very lightly, and we did bring it up with our very good friend Stephen Yates, the situation with the Colonial Pipeline. And it's a major pipeline, and it's now affecting. There are a number of states that have been able to be through the federal government, through the president, have declared a national emergency because now there's gas shortages, and there are lines. All you have to do is go to Twitter, and then in the search function, put in gas lines. You can even go to TikTok and see this too. Look for gas lines, and you're going to see in states like Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, you're going to see gas lines that are forever long because there are even gas stations that just ran out and had to close. So the New York Times has this story. It says Colonial Pipeline, a vital U.S. fuel artery that was shut down by a cyber attack, said it hoped to restore most operations by the end of the week. Since the shutdown, there have been no long lines or major price hikes for gas. Which is not even in any way accurate. If you want to really look at the definition of gaslighting in real time, that's it. That is gaslighting. That's insane. Because there's video. We know people. I have friends who act. One of the videos was one of my friends. They took it. They had their two kids in the backseat of the car, and they were waiting to get gas. They FaceTimed us while they were getting gas, while they were waiting to get gas. And they were like, we're running out of Cheerios. We're running out of snacks for the kids because we're in the gas line. We're waiting to get some gas. And it's insane. We've been waiting now for like 40 minutes. Don't want to get out of line to go check another gas station because guess what? There's going to be a line at that gas station too. I watched another video of a dude who filled his car up and then, God love him, he filled up a plastic bag with gas. With a plastic trash bag. And it looked like it was going to go well for him. We were all pulling for him. We were all like, we hope this actually works. You know, to hell with science. We hope that this bag actually holds it. The moment he lifted it up, it began leaking out of and then pouring out of the bottom of the trash bag. So he might as well just like set his money on fire right there. For the New York Times to say that there are no lines, have they left their ivory tower in Manhattan? The rest of us would like to know. Speaking of infrastructure, isn't this infrastructure?
Yeah.
I mean, I know that they were trying to redefine everything like daycare and everything else is infrastructure. What the heck's the point of daycare if you can't even get gas to get to your job and drop your kid off? What's the point of daycare if you can't go and buy groceries because there's no gas to be had by any of the modes of transportation by which produce and other groceries are delivered to said grocery stores?
It's just a private sector thing, Dana.
It's just a private sector thing. That was what one of Jen Psaki's surrogates said yesterday, and I was fascinated by that, and I have been ruminating over it all day, and actually all last night, in fact. I'll have a piece coming out about that. So it was a private sector, which to me, and remember, I had on my loosely fitting tinfoil hat that was the heavy duty Reynolds wrap. The kind that is like the wide part. So like when you're baking bacon in the oven, which is the only way to do bacon, and the Navy bakes bacon that way. So I mean, it's the Navy. I mean, they do no wrong. So that's, I mean, baking bacon is genius. And if you've never made bacon this way, you're missing out. And as an American, you should do it. If you love meat products and you love your oven, then put it in there. So my whole point is that you can get the extra wide stuff and it covers the whole sheet without any cracks. You don't have to multi-layer. Now, back to my loosely fitting, heavy-duty Reynolds Wrap tinfoil hat. So I'm not... It's when the surrogate to Jen Psaki went out there and said, well, it's a private sector, it's a private business, and this is a decision that they're going to have to make about this ransom, because it was a ransomware attack. To me, it almost sounded like it was a hurt and rescue, like as though they were just, you know, they don't federally regulate it, so we can't actually intervene and help. And as Kane mentioned yesterday, that's literally the entire reason why we have our federal government. And particularly, shall I say, that's the entire reason why the Barbary Pirates were fought against by Jefferson, who created the Navy to protect what? Private businesses, merchant ships. From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. I mean, where do you think the Barbary Pirates were coming from? And they were attacking merchant ships, and they appealed to Washington, D.C. for help. And that is what led to the creation of our naval forces. So don't give me this whole, it's a private business, it's a private sector decision, because it's unsupported by history. Nor logic. It's not unsupported by logic. Darkside is the criminal outfit, and we're going to talk more about this, that apparently carried this out. Now, here's something else I'm thinking about. Darkside is a Russian cyber criminal outfit. Although the president of the United States has been very careful not to mention Russia when talking about how they were going to disrupt them and prosecute them, he actually didn't mention Russia. Every other cybersecurity expert is talking about Russia. It's a Russian group. Now, here's what I found interesting, and tell me if I'm just overanalyzing this. So they released a statement yesterday, like right before we got off air. They released a statement yesterday wherein they said that they didn't mean for it to actually take out this pipeline. And they said that they only actually focused on smaller entities. They don't focus on big in big systems. And apparently, like, their code that they run immediately does not encrypt and lock up systems that are in Russian. So I was thinking about this when I was reading this piece, because I thought, that's a bait. Isn't that a bait? Think about this. You have this Russian criminal outfit that's telling people, oh, we don't target big systems. What is going to be the first step that all these little companies do, these CEOs? You're going to have these CEOs try to hook into and get in and be part of a larger system for security. They're not going to want they're not going to want to be on their own separate system. They're going to want to hook into the larger infrastructure. That's the word of the day. Larger infrastructure, because they're going to believe that that's providing them with some security. And we treat cybersecurity too much like it's the condiment on the buffet of national security offerings. I feel like CEOs are going to say, "Well, let's just join forces and be part of a system. Maybe let's tap into, you know, federal resources." Because they're going to think that, because no hacker, Kane, as you know, has never wanted the glory of going after a bigger operation. We all know that they stop after a certain point because they really, really follow those moral boundaries.
All criminals do that, right?
I know. I mean, you know, they're criminals to a point, you know.
Stop.
Yeah.
Right.
But doesn't it seem like that's kind of on purpose, the tactic? Well, we'll force them into being part of a bigger outfit. And through that, it sounds to me as though they would then use that entity as their vessel through which to do all of their activity. Because Darkside, when they made their statement, they didn't apologize for doing what they did, and they didn't step away from anything that they were doing. They simply said they didn't really mean to go to something that was there to hit something like this pipeline. And they said that they didn't really mean to target this large, important company. And that in the future, they're going to make sure that they don't go after something that has massive infrastructure. All these CEOs are going to look at this and they're going to be like, oh my gosh, we need to be part of large infrastructure. So we won't be targets to this, you know, a criminal outfit like DarkSide. That's what they're going to do. And then you're going to have these companies that are going to come up and they're going to say, well, we'll make sure that you all are put together on this system. And then they're all going to be one giant, big, you know, weakest link in the chain together. That's what it's going to be. This was all on purpose. We'll talk more about this because there's a lot here. And I feel as though this should be the biggest story in the country right now. And it's not. Because we had just a few months prior, there was an attack on Florida's water system. Remember that? And I said at the time, I'm like, it sort of feels like it's a test run. I mean, I'm not trying to be a conspiracy theorist, but you can't be too careful in situations like this. So it's a lot of this. The other thing that we're going to talk about is this is Democrats soft launched universal basic income. And I don't know if it's ever actually going to go away. And we're going to have to explore this in depth. The 70s apparently are back. For those of you who've never lived them, the 70s are back. We've got long gas lines. We've got inflation on the way, high taxes, and apparently right on cue, ABBA's going to release a new album. So it's like the 70s all over again. Polyester pants, disco music, horribly patterned shirts. It's all coming back. And I swear, if platform shoes that make women, please do not wear platforms. You make your legs look like a Clydesdale's legs. Stop. It's like you're clip-clopping. Don't wear the platforms. So you know those like big wooden clog platforms? It's like they wanted to be Dutch in like the stereotypical way, but they wanted to do it on steroids. And so they made these giant wooden shoes that are 50 pounds a shoe. And the platform, your all's moms had these. In fact, some of you in my audience may have had them in your youth. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a workout just to wear them. The 70s are coming back, man. It's that 70s malaise that's coming back. We'll discuss that. This is what I have on deck for you. We're shipping in fuel from Europe now because of this whole situation. We've got that. We're also going to talk about the latest ongoing back and forth, Hamas firing over 100 rockets into Israel. And then when Israel fires back like two times, everyone's like, why are you so mean? We'll discuss this. Cancel culture. Dave Chappelle weighs in. The Dewey Decimal System, which I said is a joke last year, is now considered racist. I will explain this. We're going to discuss that. Hollywood's in the process of canceling itself. People are mad at SNL because they said that SNL appropriated minority language with its Gen Z segment because they use words like bestie and spilling tea. And unless you're going after the Chinese and English, I don't understand how that's appropriation of any. I just don't understand. We're going to discuss that. We've got that. Why animals are better than people and so much more. Ooh, and Gothfish. I don't know if you've been adequately prepared for this, but gird the loins. Science tells us what's good for the heart is also good for the brain. And that's what led the team behind the best-selling Super Beats Heart Chews to create their new Super Beats Memory and Focus. Research has shown that by promoting blood flow, you can support cardiovascular and cognitive health. Combining clinically studied fermented resveratrol with a patented coffee fruit extract, Super Beats Memory and Focus promotes brain blood flow, supports memory, alertness, and helps to support reduced perceptions of mental fatigue. Super Beats Memory and Focus supports brain health in two ways, by promoting blood flow and supporting healthy levels at BDNF. Healthy levels of BDNF, a key neuroprotein, support overall brain health as we age. Get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Super Beats Heart Chews when you shop at danasbeats.com. That's a free 30-day supply of Super Beats Memory and Focus with your purchase of Super Beats Heart Chews at danasbeats.com. danasbeats.com.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
All right, so a couple of things here. Associated Press reports that Twitter suspended accounts amplifying Chinese diplomats in response to this ongoing investigation that's brought on by the Program on Democracy and Technology. They've looked into whether or not China is behind some like messaging of fake fans, because have you noticed, like, I noticed this whenever they were talking about Xinjiang cotton, and they had that whole, that's the cotton that's in the province where they have the Uyghurs that are in the detention camps, and they had all of these Chinese celebrities on their red carpet a few weeks ago literally wearing like puffs of cotton and all this stuff. And so, but whenever anybody would criticize it, there were all of these fans, these troll accounts that came out of nowhere that were trying to boost it. So now they are investigating as to whether or not they have like an army of basically trolls that are just boosting their messaging and reception. And this is what's kind of, I mean, it's interesting. This is something I'm just shocked. And of course, these are going to be the students that talk about resistance and all that other stuff. Dartmouth's medical school has accused 17 students of cheating on remote exams. Now, how did they find this out? Because they were tracking the students' online activity without the students knowing. So the school accused 17 students at their school of medicine by cheating. They said, you looked up answers to exams on the internet. They retroactively reviewed the activity of students during 3,000 exams without their knowledge after a faculty member accused one student of cheating. And what the investigation discovered and what they freely admitted was that they were monitoring what these students were doing on the internet 24/7 without them knowing. That's kind of freaky. Cybersecurity experts are now saying that universities lack the expertise to properly use tracking software, and that they're going to run into significant trouble. You're going to see a whole new bunch of lawsuits that are going to come open up in this front. You're going to see that. Unbelievable. And a guy who visited China's like glass bridge, the glass blew out and he got stuck on the bridge. Why would anybody visit this? You saw what happened to their satellite. Stay with us.
Do you want the CIA choosing their personnel based on intersectionality or based on competence? I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, I'll discuss how the Russians and Chinese must be thrilled at how identity politics are becoming more important than protecting our nation. I'll also be joined by Tiffany Smiley, the amazing wife of a wounded warrior who changed the military and the VA and is now running for the U.S. Senate in Washington State. Subscribe to the Sarah Carter Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
Well, absolutely, this is true. This is the message that was sent out after January the 20th with the change in policies. This is exactly what has happened. This is all planned. This is all put in place. The executive orders, the policy changes affecting ICE's ability to deport, CBP's ability to stop the eradication of the migrant protection protocols. All of these things are policies that were put in place by this administration. That are destructive policies here that are affecting Texan lives here and American lives here in the United States.
Yeah, I immediately have to hit on this story, too, because I, as a parent, you know, when you have kids, you see your kids and everybody else's kids. And I think that's why so many parents get involved in disciplining or protecting so many other kids, because they see it that way. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, DanaLash.com. Subscribe to that newsletter, chapter and verse. This happened near was this in RGV? This is in like Dell. Kane's just over there crunching stuff.
Sorry.
No, it's all right. Get Hulk mad. It's all right. Hulk smash, man. But there was a farmer and his wife, and they found five young girls who had been dropped by coyotes on their farm in the sweltering heat near the Rio Grande. And one of them was a baby. She wasn't even old enough to walk yet. And when they found her, she was naked. That baby did not have a stitch of clothes on. And the oldest girl was 7. The others were aged 2 and 3. And there was another, I think the other one was 5. So 7, 5, 2, and 3, and they had this baby. And they were crying. They were hungry, thirsty. Then they were just there in the heat. So they don't know how long they had been there. They didn't have any diapers for the baby. No diapers for the baby. These coyotes just dropped them off there. And it was 103 degrees out. Imagine being that young out in the heat, no shade, 103 degrees out because coyotes are making money dropping kids off. Because they can. Because they know that there's not going to be any kind of deterrent. Their government doesn't hold them accountable, and they know that the policies that we have right now as it relates to processing and stuff at the border, that's not going to... There's no deterrent for some of the parents who need the money to not do this. And so the farmer, they're so remote, it took law enforcement or Border Patrol 3 hours before they got there. And because there's so few Border Patrol agents. And the farmer was like, we have never seen anything like this ever. So the girls, and they weren't even all siblings. So three of the girls were sisters. They were from Honduras, 2, 3, and 7. And the others, the baby and the 5-year-old, they were Guatemalan. And can you imagine, you know, that 7-year-old had to take care of everybody. That doesn't even get into the 9-year-old who was killed. Because remember what I was telling you about yesterday with the Rio Grande? Some parts are incredibly shallow. And then you can also, in the parts where it's wider, it might look like it's shallow all the way across, but there's like a deep drop off in the middle in some parts. The current is crazy. And one 9-year-old wasn't able to get out of the current and she drowned. They found her unresponsive on the riverbank and they weren't able to revive her. And that was just a couple days ago. That wasn't long ago. Oh my gosh, I can't even tell you the fury. Now, this isn't to say that we didn't see stuff like this during the Trump administration, because desperation will always drive some people. If they need money and they want to pay off coyotes to, you know, to take their kid, whatever. But now we're seeing it a heck of a lot more. I can't imagine. Can you? What if you had some of these other coyotes who've been known to be predators find these girls? I can't even imagine. Not even taken to a drop-off area. Not even taken to an area where they know the Border Patrol was going to be, where at least some adult was going to be there. Thankfully, they required no medical attention. They're at one of the receiving centers or one of the detention centers there so that they could get processed, get rehydrated, because they were all dehydrated, of course. Oh my goodness. It was just awful. And the farmer's wife was enraged. She was so upset. She was in tears. She was like, I saw one of the video interviews of her. She was shaking and in tears still. And they had some of the people who work with them, and it just, you could tell how mad people were, because they just had these baby wipes and they were just trying to wipe this one woman was just trying to wipe this baby's face clean, and the baby was dehydrated, and they did. Oh my gosh. This is what these policies are contributing to. And we're not even at peak season. I mean, it's 103 degrees down there at the border, and it's only May. It's going to get a heck of a lot hotter. So we have a crisis at the border. We have a crisis right now with one of our fuel lines. I mean, when is it going to change? We got a crisis with employment. I wrote a part of the newsletter that I sent out last night was discussing this, the soft launch of universal basic income. And there were two sound bites from the president yesterday that I thought they were weird, because he had his press conference yesterday in which he was talking about how we can't. This is audio soundbite 18. We can't continue to, you know, pay people. If you're getting paid to stay home and you get offered a job, you need to take it. But what's weird, he also said this. He said in the beginning that there's been a lot of discussion since the Friday report that people are being paid to stay home rather than go to work, and we don't see much evidence of that. He said that. And then he said this. Listen to this soundbite.
We're going to make it clear that anyone collecting unemployment who is offered a suitable job must take the job or lose their unemployment benefits. There are a few COVID-19 related exceptions, so that people aren't forced to choose between their basic safety.
Okay, now wait a minute. Let me play this clip, because this Right before he said that, he said this. Listen to this.
I know there's been a lot of discussion since Friday's report, that people are being paid to stay home rather than go to work. Well, we don't see much evidence of that.
Well, wait a minute. Can we play your thing again? Because that, what was that? He said that, literally this is the same speech, and then he just said this right after.
We're going to make it clear that anyone collecting unemployment who is offered a suitable job must take the job or lose their unemployment benefits.
Okay, well, wait, I thought he said that that wasn't happening. So why would you create a solution for a problem that doesn't exist?
Great question.
If it's not happening. Jen Psaki said in a press conference, oh, that's not happening. She said that also. But then it was weird because that came after her statement, what was it, on Friday? Where she talked about a living wage. Interesting. Or yesterday. So that was the same press conference. So they introduced a solution for a problem he just said didn't exist. If you get the newsletter, I put up there the photo of the sign on the Spring Creek Barbecue. Said, due to labor shortages and the inability to staff our restaurant, Spring Creek Barbecue will be temporarily closed. And this is all about, as I said, establishing a universal basic income. You can call it a national wage. You can call it universal basic income. This is the plan that they had during the campaign that AOC and a lot of other people promoted, where they discussed how this was something that could be granted regardless of work situation, regardless of whether or not someone was going to work or not. And it was it's a guaranteed minimum income. And it doesn't matter if someone is working or not. That was absolutely the verbiage of one of the proposals that they had pushed. This absolutely is the soft launch of it. Remember, Psaki said in her presser, yes, and this was the day before, that the problem is businesses not wanting to pay employees as much as the government. Well, the Biden administration, they don't have, as I said, anyone in the administration that is calling the shots that actually has that small business experience. Now, the Marxist base, when Biden said this, it didn't go over very well. And that's on purpose. People were tweeting things like, where's my money, Joseph? The quote tweets on, oh my gosh, I'm gonna pull this up. And this was, Twitchy had some of this. This is crazy. They had this C-SPAN. They had C-SPAN's remarks on it. And then it said the quote tweets that were from this, people were blasting him, saying that it was unacceptable. They said this is actually violence. I mean, oh my goodness. They were saying that these companies should be forced to match what the government is paying. That's all by design. Biden said that and made people mad. I mean, that's on purpose. Businesses can't afford to pay people what the market is not going to provide. And you cannot seize the means of production or the means of from the productive to pay people who don't work and expect some kind of that racket to last. But that's not the purpose, though. The purpose is to cow the country into agreeing to this universal basic income, paying people regardless of whether or not they actually work. And they do this through using the lockdown as the justification and continual quote-unquote relief. I mean, if they really wanted to improve the economy and stop this labor shortage issue, they wouldn't fearmonger about reopening businesses, contrary to what the CDC is saying. They wouldn't tax Americans to death so that the economy could recover from this year-plus-long lockdown. They wouldn't target capital gains, which is the well of startup capital that's going to adversely impact the ability of startups and small business growth. They would do all of those things if that was really ultimately the concern. But it's the soft launch for this. That's what the relief is. It's the soft launch of this. Because once people get accustomed to this, they don't want to go back. Not everybody, but enough. And it was on purpose that it didn't go over well with that base. Completely on purpose. And how do you even enforce something like that anyway? Like when Joe Biden says, well, if you're offered a suitable job and you don't take it, how would you, and that's the theater of it. How is that even enforced? You can't enforce that. That's unenforceable. How would the government even know? Are they going to start tracking employers too? You would have to be tracked by the government in order for that to even be enforced. So that's the other crisis, the absolute other crisis. I know we have a lot more to come because I want to get into some of the national security aspects. Do you know the CIA released a new woke video? I was talking about this on Fox last night. They came out with a new video, the CIA did, and they were saying that there was a guy who was at the CIA's library, something to that effect. And the guy was like, I saw a rainbow sticker on John Brennan's badge, and I thought that was so great. And he's like, you know, I'm gay and I'm in the CIA. Nobody cares. Like, unless him being gay means that he's not going to drone Americans overseas, unless that guy being gay means that he's going to spy on Americans less, better than a straight person, because if being gay means that you're not going to spy on Americans, whereas straight CIA employees spied on Americans and broke into Senate staffers' emails under John Brennan, in which he lied to Congress in sworn testimony, and he actually should be in jail over this because he also lied to the FBI. And let's keep in mind that that's one of the big reasons why initially Paul Manafort went to jail. Unless somehow this guy being gay means that he's not going to be doing all of this stuff that was done previously, then nobody cares. Just do your job. Nobody cares. I don't care what somebody does in their personal life. Like I said, is it going to magically make them behave more ethically? I didn't see that in the video, Kane. I watched it a couple times. I didn't see it. So nobody cares. Like, why even make this? Why? Anyway, we got a lot of other stuff to discuss. Cancel culture. Dave Chappelle, he comes out against, he's mad over the Elon Musk thing. He said it was ridiculous the way that some of the, he blasted actually the SNL cast. Oh, bad news for A.D. Bryant. Dewey Decimal System is racist. Yeah, I did.
Numbers?
Dude. Yeah. Numbers, numbers, business. Hollywood's in the process of canceling itself. SNL is getting attacked by its own people. This is a story that I'm going to almost need an entire segment to ridicule because we got to go to break and I cannot talk anymore about this because I will not go to break and we'll just not have it. All right. So, oh my gosh, this is the crazy stuff. This is the crazy times. I don't even know where I am now. I'm lost. I'm out in the wilderness. Kane, where am I at?
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
I was distracted momentarily, I'm not even going to lie to you people, by a video where it's a female cop. I'm pretty sure we cannot play any of this audio.
Not the audio.
Yeah. We don't have to run it. It's just an aside. But I was totally distracted by this female cop who was like trying to break up a fight and one of the dudes threw a punch at her and she just cold cocked this guy. I was like that. It was like watching five Gina Carano's in one person like hit this dude. I'm like, where's Dana White? Get this chicken an octagon. I mean, yes, she's serving the people and she's wearing the badge and all of that stuff, but oh my gosh, I'm just sensing some sponsorships and a contract and like fight night, all in that in her future. You agree with me, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that her, I mean, it was pretty good form. It's like, she was right up there.
I
with
just watched it 10 times in a row.
I know, I've only watched it 3. I'm really sad. I gotta catch up to you. We live for this kind of stuff. The White House says they're monitoring gas supply shortages. I kind of almost feel like I don't need gas, but I want to get it. I'm that person. You know me? You guys know how prepped I am.
Oh, yeah.
I only have like 2 things of gas in my garage, and I feel like I'm going to need more. Ooh, here we go. This is how it starts. No, do not do that. Do not make a run on gas. It's not going to be like that. But the White House says that they're monitoring gas shortages in the Southeast. And that we're already bringing it in from France or from Europe. I like animals better than people. I gotta touch on this. This makes me so sad. I almost don't want to talk about it. People are returning pets that they adopted during the coronavirus lockdown. And I just want to beat people to death. I really do. When you make a commitment to an animal like this, it is a commitment. And now you have all these pictures of these sad, sweet little pups that had a home. Because like, animals are loyal. Dogs are loyal. They are loyal animals. I like dogs more than I like people. They are the best people. They are loyal. They will be with you. My dogs are nuts, but they're loyal and sweet and loving. I can't imagine that your family member. Why are people so awful? This is why pandemics happen, because it's you people. Stick with us. We got more to come.
There is no form of acceptable resistance to state violence, except for the denial of you know, people's human dignity. And we need to stop. We need to stop and look at the fact that our own country is enabling it, with billions of dollars every year being issued to Israel, even though they are promoting racism and dehumanization.
That's Rashida Tlaib, as though that needed any introduction. First off, that's just wrong. And you glorify Louis Farrakhan, so let's not. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Make sure you go and subscribe to that newsletter, Chapter and Verse. A lot of good stuff. I had something up there for you last night as well. And if you are, seriously, we're at like what, $6 a month? It's like cheaper than a cup of coffee at Starbucks. And that's per month. So go and check it out. There's all kinds of good stuff there. So what she's talking about specifically, she was upset over any kind of funding assistance for the Iron Dome. Have you seen that thing in action?
Oh, yeah.
It's been in action like mad over the past several days, because there's been over 100 rockets launched by Hamas into Jerusalem. And then Israel launched airstrikes finally after they were pelted with rockets. Over 100 of them, 20 people were killed, 9 children. And then when Israel responds, then it's like Israel's bad. How dare you? How dare you do this? It doesn't matter your opinion on Israeli politics or anything else. This is just the bare facts here. There's a reason why only one country needs an Iron Dome defense system. And it's not the country in which Hamas is active. This, I was watching various video of the Iron Dome in like action, and that was some impressive stuff. First off, the sirens and seeing that launch towards you, that's terrifying. And people have been living with these rockets being fired over for days now. That's a terrifying thing. And then to have the dome knock all of them out, I mean, one right after the other. They've had 21 police hurt, according to security services there. And this comes after days of clashes between Palestinians and Israeli security forces around a mosque that began on Friday. It's happened like all over the weekend. And I all around the Temple Mount. Jewish people, like, Israel does not allow Jewish people to go and say their prayers at Temple Mount, because they're trying to make the Muslim population and Hamas and Palestinians, etc., everybody happy. I don't know anyone else that would bar any other entity that would bar its people from saying prayers at the holiest site in its faith just to keep the peace. I mean, if there was peace to be had, one side could keep it by not launching rockets off of school rooftops and hospitals repeatedly over into a sovereign nation. Like I said, there's a reason why only one country has to have an Iron Dome. Good heavens. I mean, just day in and day out. This has, I mean, been going on for, I mean, this is insane. I watched a video of this one driver who these rioters would not get out of his way. And it was closed circuit television. And there were a group of Palestinians that were, it was not a protest anymore. It was a riot. There was destruction. And this driver was trying to get around them, and they started throwing these rocks at his vehicle, at his windshield, at the driver's side window. And he wrecked his car because he was trying to get around, and that many people were throwing rocks at him. I mean, his car looked like it had been through a monumental hailstorm. And so he wrecks his car, busts his head, and then they're throwing rocks at him as he gets out. This guy's about to be lynched in the street. And so this one singular cop runs over and gets in front of him, draws down his gun, and is holding the rioters at bay. And everybody's mad at the cop. And the guy who had his car wrecked. You know, the full footage is out there. You can see what he was doing before his car was wrecked. He wasn't trying to mow people down. He was terrified and was trying to get the hell out of Dodge. Oh, my gosh. And so that was a terrifying video. And that cop had some brass. That cop had more brass than what I saw from cops in Plano.
That's for sure.
That police chief in Plano. Y'all people in Plano, Texas, need to be talking to your sheriff and your police chief there. Yeah, that one cop. And he was not playing. And he was so resolute. He had one hand, he had his service pistol drawn. And his other hand, he slammed that guy back against the car and was like, stay away, stay away. It was something else. But this has been going on for, you know, for days now. For days. And then you have people like Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib say the stuff that they say. They make no mention in any of their statements at all whatsoever about any of the actions that led up to this. Which is kind of like par for the course. That's typically what they do. I mean, so many, I have a number of friends who were just, they were livid with Tlaib and Omar. One of them had said, unlike you, they tweeted at her, I never prayed on Temple Mount, Judaism's holiest site, because Israel limits prayer there to Muslims. No Jewish or Christian prayer is allowed. Doesn't even matter if you can't even be a Christian and go there. Israel bends over to secure Muslim worship at Muslim holy sites. And he told Tlaib, you're way off of facts. Because she was acting like, I can't even go pray at Temple Mount. I'm like, do you realize that there's a thing called the internet? And like, this stuff is public on the internet, right? We all know this. We know we can find information here. I don't know why people gotta lie about stuff. Why do they gotta lie? It just doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense at all. Yeah, not a word as to what led up to that. Oh man, and it's still ongoing, and we'll see. But it was impressive to watch that Iron Dome in action. That was something else. And it's terrifying to see people having to live like that. So a couple of things that we're also watching. And I'm going to try to get like everything that I can in for you. I want to talk about some of this cancel culture stuff too, because whoo, my word. And this is going to be one of those things that takes probably, this is going to be one of those things that's probably going to take a bit. Let me pull this up because I want to make sure I have everything here. All right. So first up, Dave Chappelle, we'll start with him. And you know, it's not just him too. Who else was it that came out? There was somebody else that came out. There were actually a number of people that came out. There was one of the guys from Pink Floyd who was blasting woke culture, although I don't really... Is it the same guy who's a major anti-Semite over at Pink Floyd? I don't think... I can't remember if it was Daltrey or not. But Dave Chappelle also came out and said, nobody can be woke enough. Oh, it was Glover. Oh. Donald Glover who came out and said, you can't ever, all movies, televisions, and music are boring now because everybody's trying not to be woke. That's what he said. I was like, I knew there was somebody, that was the story this morning. So Dave Chappelle blasted Saturday Night Live, the cast who snubbed Elon Musk when he guest hosted. He said, look, your social justice nagging is going to backfire. He said that no one can be woke enough. If you continue with this tone, even if you're right, you will be very hard to hear. Because people are tired of it. And he didn't understand why people didn't want to even be so much as in a sketch with Musk. He is like, what does he do with his bad? And I will say, when Musk was on, when he was on the news segment, I mean, the hosts there were, I mean, they had even tweeted about this and they were talking about this before. They were like, well, why wouldn't you like him? I mean, he's talking about making, you know, more efficient vehicles and sending people to Mars. Like, what's to dislike about that? Right? Good heavens. Should other comedians hate the comedians on SNL because they're wealthy? They get paid well and they can afford nice apartments in Manhattan? I mean, should they? I mean, if that's the way that we're going to go about this, are we just going to hate every single person that's got one foot up from everybody else on the ladder? Is that how it's going to be? That's what Marxism leads you. But good on him for saying that. Yeah, it was Donald Glover that said that. He was talking about woke culture. And he blasted it. He said that cancel culture is ruining entertainment. And he said that, you know, people, they're not being experimental anymore because they're too scared of being canceled. That's his actual quotes from the Metro. They said that, I mean, he and that's great that he was talking about that. Some, I mean, it needs to be. It's infected comedy already. I mean, there's like nowhere else for creativity and experimentation to go. And then we have the Dewey Decimal System. The Dewey Decimal System is apparently people are trying to cancel it. There's this librarian at Cornell, which should tell you everything right there. This librarian at Cornell, who I don't know how you can talk about being on in any way being somehow like you got the shorter stick when you're at Cornell. She works at, again, Cornell. She's the outreach and engagement librarian. Who knew? It's their Olin Library. And she said that they were talking about anti-Asian bigotry because of the crime, the spike in crime against Asian Americans. And then she brought up the Dewey Decimal System as a way to illustrate her critical race theory. And the Dewey Decimal System, just a background, it was devised by Melville Dewey in 1876, and it's used to classify books by assigning them all into 10 sections. And then they're further subdivided with individual sections, and decimal points are then used to subdivide the sections further. 974 is used for New England, 974.1 is given to Maine, 974.2 is New Hampshire, etc., etc. So she says that Dewey Decimal System uses outdated language to refer to Asian people. And she says that basically what it is that that Western culture has more subsections, apparently, than Asian cultures. And that she says that Africa is under one single section in the Dewey Decimal System. And that makes her upset. And then she says that English, Greek, and German have individual sections. And she says French and Latin have individual sections. And she's upset because she says that Asian countries have one section. And my question is this. First off, how bored are you? My second question is, what library systems do China and Russia use? Do you think that China and Russia give equal treatment in their version of the Dewey Decimal System to Western nations? Yes or no? Super easy question. When were their systems created? This is so moronic. I joked about this last year because I tweeted about it. And I didn't mean for it to be taken literally, and I refuse responsibility for this. I told you, I'm like, they're going to say the Dewey Decimal System's racist. Oh my gosh. And here we are. Kane? Yeah, what did you say?
Back in the day, being at the library was like Google.
Yeah.
So it's like blaming Google for being racist.
Yeah.
Just because they categorize in a certain way. It has nothing to do with anything other than categorization. That's
well,
literally
all. And here's the other thing. Like, you may have like one subsection for Asia, but then under that subsection, there are other subsections for different. Right. It's like one umbrella. And she's mad because there's one umbrella for like the United States and a whole other umbrella for like France and a whole other umbrella for Spain. And then there's a whole other umbrella for Mexico. And then there's a whole, but like she says, Asian countries, they're all under one umbrella. But then they have subsections under that. Do you not understand?
Is she trying to make a point that you can't find certain?
No, she's just saying that no, it's stupid. This is so stupid.
Exactly.
I'm just, you know, I used to love libraries. I never thought anybody could make me hate libraries. She's actually trying. This girl's trying. We got a lot more on the way because I'm not even through everything. The Saturday Night Live is being attacked by its base because they say that this skit, what was it called? Gen Z Hospital.
Oh, yeah.
It was like supposed to be like a soap based on Gen Z in a hospital setting.
That was actually funny though. No.
People are mad. Wow. Because they were using Gen Z vernacular. And...
Bruh, that's sus.
Bruh, you're a racist now. You're totally racist because that apparently you can't. And spilling tea is apparently if you use that, and you are anything other than a Black American, then it's bad. You're not allowed to. You're not allowed to use these phrases.
Bruh.
Like I thought tea was like an English and Chinese thing, right? Like China invented it, and English people made it like a cultural thing with biscuits, right? Now more than ever, it's vital to support companies and organizations that share your values. And Patriot Mobile is calling all patriots. Switch to Patriot Mobile today. Bring your own phone and you'll get 50% off your first 2 months plus a free Patriot starter kit. And for a limited time, enter the Be a Patriot promotion to win a free phone and cellular service for life. Simply donate to one of Patriot Mobile's participating charities. Send in your thoughts on what it means to be a patriot, or switch your service to a Patriot Mobile plan. With the broadest nationwide coverage, Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget and great multi-line discounts. Switching is easy. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call their U.S.-based customer service team at 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Veterans and first responders save even more, so make the switch today. Get the discount, free starter kit, and enter the Be a Patriot promotion for a chance to win using the offer code DANA. A full list of rules is available at patriotmobile.com/Dana. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT.
It's the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So in a California state park, Crystal Cove State Park, a deep sea anglerfish, which I'm calling the goth fish, washed up in Newport Beach. And they said that it was a very intact specimen. Dude, the teeth are black. It's like Tim Burton drew an animal and it came to life. It completely looks like that. This is, and one of my friends said the reasons why you have terrifying animals like this in the deep is because they're not meant to be seen. This makes me not like deep water. Just saying. I have said for 10 years that emojis are the new hieroglyphs. And now I feel really vindicated because it's actually, I mean, I'm not the only person who's now saying this. So, they, I mean, you know, like, obviously, like, hieroglyphs, right? The Hill has a column where they said, is it time to consider emojis a language? My answer to that is no. No. But it is kind of like, a, you know, there are hieroglyphs because, you know, the Egyptians did not speak in pictures. So, and neither do we, really. Stay with us.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
What happens when you put in a cage fight a giant in with a midget? Well, the midget will not win the fight. I'm going to tell you that.
So that's, I'm just, that's a flashback to Hank Johnson, hat tip to Emily on this, who within 24 hours of this, this was in 2012, Hank Johnson, Guam's going to tip over, Hank Johnson, Congressman Hank Johnson on the floor of Congress, literally as he's speaking on the floor. He then within 24 hours, he turned around and he apologized for almost 4 minutes for the word that he used. Listen. Excuse
me. The use of the M word is no longer socially acceptable. Now, the M word refers to a group of people, the little people. And but when we say little people, I'm not talking about the Leona Hemsley little people. I'm not talking about the 47%. I'm not talking about the takers instead of the makers, as some
what?
Would describe
How does he get elected?
Them.
Who votes for Hank Johnson? Who goes up there with their right to vote, or their state-granted right, and goes up there and says, you know what, Hank Johnson seems like a good choice. Let's vote for him. Oh my God. Who does this? The fact that SNL has never parodied this guy is a travesty. It is a horrible, horrible indictment of their partisanship, because the man is a walking skit. He is. I mean, he kind of reminds me of Carl Pilkington. He is unintentionally hysterical, but that's not what you want in your congressman. You know what I mean? Like, he spent almost 4 minutes apologizing. And then he had this super long speech where he talks about little people cage fighting giants. And that's, wow, okay. Like I said, it's so bad that SNL has never done any kind of parody on this guy. Now, speaking of SNL, I told you, because we're talking about some cancel culture right now, we've been following everything else with gas prices and, you know, everything. But this is kind of the situation with cancel culture and then SNL. I don't know if you guys have seen this piece. Let me pull this up here. So Saturday Night Live is getting a lot of criticism, not just because they had Elon Musk, but because they had this segment. It was called Gen Z Hospital. And have you like heard any of this?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Here, let me. I got. Let me play some. Well, maybe I'll play some of this. Unless there's like a goofy commercial.
We now return to the thrilling conclusion of Gen Z Hospital.
Bro, nobody's telling us anything. Is Bestie gonna be okay?
Nurse, we demand to know how our Bestie is doing.
I'm sorry, bro. I told you I don't have the information yet.
Bruh, seriously?
I'm so pressed right now, bro.
Don't be pressed. The doctor will be in shortly, bro. Dead ass.
Yo, if this doctor keeps leaving us on red, he's gonna catch hands on gang.
No. It's gonna be okay. Bestie cannot die like this.
Big facts. She's gonna make it, bro.
There's the doctor now.
Here's the Elon Musk.
Is this Morgan Squad?
Gang, gang.
Doctor, please tell us what's up with our Bestie.
You all might want to sit down. What I have to say right now might be a little cringe.
Just give us the tea.
Okay. Well, as you may have seen on her live, your Bestie took a major L while driving her Hellcat.
Yeah, we saw.
We tried everything we could in surgery, and it was sus for a while. But we have your Bestie on a machine, and we're doing everything we can.
So, Bestie's gonna be okay, right?
I'm sorry, but at this particular time, that's looking like cap.
So now everybody's mad over this segment. People are mad over this segment. So, people are accusing SNL of appropriating what they call AAVE.
What?
I am yesterday years old and learning about this. And it's called African American Vernacular English. AAVE. What?
I remember when Ebonics was a thing. Is that the new Ebonics?
So I think that's I think. So they said, here is an example of some of the criticisms. Quote, bro, the appropriation of AAVE by white people is gross. That actually is, though. Someone says, it just seems like they pulled a list of terms from Urban Dictionary and sprinkled them in.
Wow, how does comedy work?
It's comedy. Like, you realize that people make fun of boomers and Gen Xers and millennials, right? So it's not just Gen Z.
And they're using their vernacular to do it.
Right. Like Gen X, I'm baby Gen X, and we're raising, like my kids are kind of like baby Gen Zs, right? Or younger Gen Zs. So someone else said, this skit is so stupid. I'm tired of non-minorities throwing around AAVE terms. Oh my gosh, and it's insane. So it doesn't matter if you can't be white or Hispanic or anything else. You cannot use that slang, apparently. Okay, I am made up. No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I'm not taking my cues of comedy from people who are clearly...
You mean who eat Tide Pods and eat themselves into traffic?
I couldn't have said it better.
I'm not. So, can I talk about this spilling tea thing?
Oh, yeah.
Because are we seriously like gonna be like, you can only use things that at whatever you are, you can only use things that whatever you are, where you come from is created? Because tea was invented by the Chinese, and then the English people made it into, the Brits made it into a culture with their biscuits and tea. You know, they'd have what they call cookies. And I always get confused whenever they say biscuits, because I'm expecting something like gravy and biscuits, you know, like a big proper southern buttermilk biscuit. And instead it's a cookie. But they like made tea a culture. I still don't understand how the afternoon tea thing works. Like, do you have the tea every afternoon and then you just eat sweets? How are they not 5,000 pounds if they do this every day? Is that, I mean, truly?
Right.
We need to phone a Brit.
Yeah.
We're going to have to like have that. I actually have a British friend and I'm going to have an ask a Brit. I'm going to ask my British friend on break. Like, so like, how does this work? And how are British people not a million pounds? Because if I had tea and the little cookie things every afternoon, I mean, you'd eat that, right? That's like adorable. The little cookies are so cute. You'd eat it because you're like, they're little. I can have a lot. So, sus is like suspicious or suspect. Like, oh, that's suspect or that's suspicious, whatever. How? It's just like literally, it's treated as a prefix when it's not really. But you're taking the faux prefix of a word that.
Right.
Are you telling me that only certain people can split words? I'm so, what are the rules?
That's sus.
Oh my gosh. I feel like that time that I was wearing gold hoops like I am now and I was on TV and someone read me the riot act for wearing gold hoops. And I was like, I'm sorry, are you Sumerian? Because if you're not Sumerian, and I like literally, it was the only time I ever responded to an email. And I have no idea how I know about like molted gold and all of this stuff and forming of earrings. But I literally went for like a whole paragraph reading the riot act back to this person about the Sumerian culture and the invention of gold jewelry and hoops and what the sizes of hoops meant.
This is where we are.
This is how insane this is. I don't even know, man. I don't know. It's like, can you not have reindeer unless you're Nordic? Can you not appreciate that? Like, how does that work? Go, oh, sorry, you're not 10 feet tall and your name isn't Bjorn, so you can't appreciate the reindeer. How does this work? Like, can you not have pasteurized milk unless you're French? Ooh, oui, oui, you didn't make the pasteurized milk. That was Louis Pasteur. You can't have it. He also did the rabies vaccine, too. So how screwed would everybody be? You know, there's such a thing as a comedy, satire, and making fun of everyone equally, which I think is hysterical. There's also things like cultural appreciation. And I go back to this story, and this was like several years ago, where this one girl was so excited because she found this beautiful kimono and she wore it to her prom and she like had her hair styled and she, you know, her and her date had photos and she was attacked. This 17-year-old girl was smeared and attacked online because she thought she was wearing something beautiful to her prom and she wanted that to be in her photos to remember. She clearly was not being bigoted and being mean to a culture. She thought it was so awesome and she appreciated it so much that she just wanted to wear it. It's like the museum that, do you remember this was on the East Coast. There was a museum that had displayed these like historic, like Japanese clothing. And it's like what they would wear when you would be presented, when you would go to like the Japanese court and all this stuff. And to raise money for the museum, it was like several hundred dollars, but you could try it on very carefully and get a photo in it. And people loved it because it was so beautifully made. And I mean, it was just like, you don't ever get things made like this. I mean, if you get something made like this, like $1 trillion. And people began criticizing that this was a small museum that was trying to raise money. And it was teaching people about Asian culture. And people were threatening to boycott them because they said this is appropriation. And they're like, how in the world? We're literally educating people. And people think that they're appreciating this. Appreciation is not appropriation. And so now, have you noticed that kids today are even afraid to show appreciation for other cultures? They're scared and emotionally abused into believing that they can't even learn anything about another culture because it would be considered not appreciation, but appropriation. Isn't that like, I have no words. Then the fact that there are adults who can't tell the difference between this is how people get like segregated into these little groups. I mean, cultural appreciation is an awesome thing. Oh my gosh. I mean, that's like, okay, so over lockdown, I got super into anime and I always did not like anime. And now I'm like in it deep. It started with JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. It went into Castlevania because I played that as a kid. And there's a couple things I had to be like, let's fast forward that. That's so crazy. And then it got into Black Butler. I'm trying to think of all the ones that I have on my list. I have like a million things. Demon Slayer. Oh my gosh, I'm trying to even remember. And then it even got to the point where I now have a Polnareff pillow. Only like five of you out there even know what that is. And that's, and I really, one of the things that I've learned now that I, and then from anime, I got into manga. And one of the things that I've learned from that is the storytelling is so ridiculously over the top and it is so dramatic. At first I thought this is ridiculous. But then when you're locked in your house for a year, you're like, this is actually pretty amazing. And the storytelling, I kind of want to do, I have a dream to do one whole radio show the way that every manga series, and not just like the shonen, but the like the narration of a fight scene, they tell you, at first I was like, are they telling everybody what they're doing? Because that's pretty much like telegraphing your moves and you would be able to defend against that. No, they're just telling you. It's a mental connection. But I love it. It's so over the top. And so is that appropriation because you're appreciating that style and that storytelling? That's my whole point. And what gets me is that going back to that museum, the people who had donated that item, it was a Japanese family and they were livid. They were livid at all of the people who were saying that it was appropriation and they blasted everybody. They essentially called everybody else bigots who wanted to keep people separated and didn't want people to appreciate other cultures or learn about other cultures. And I was like, everybody put it down because they did it. They just dropped it. They dropped the mic and bass and everything else you can drop on that. So
follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Okay, guys, if you're going to be a designated driver, that means you don't drink. That's what it means. You are the designated survivor. You are in charge of all the people. Well, that's not what happened with one Florida woman. She was supposed to be the designated driver during a night out, and then she got drunk, hit three parked cars and a bus over the weekend after leaving a bar. Yes, her name is Melanie Ascara. She's 40. She had a blood alcohol content a little over twice the legal limit when she was tested by police. This happened at 1 a.m. Sunday in Port St. Lucie. When officers arrived at the scene, the engine compartment of her 2010 sedan had caught fire.
Oh, my God.
In her car, there was an empty bottle of Kentucky bourbon. Kentucky bourbon whiskey in the front seat. Empty. So I love how they go. She was arrested for suspicion of driving under the influence. Yeah. So she had hit like a bunch of parked cars and apparently a bus. And then her car caught fire. I mean, it's like I can't even make this up. Also, a neighborly feud led to toilets lining a Cape Coral yard. Two neighbors are fighting in Cape Coral. And Danny Morales, he works in Cape Coral. He's been watching the developments. And he goes, when I turned the corner, I noticed that there were urinals outside. But as I came closer, I thought that maybe they were decorative. But apparently, it was an intent. They were intentionally put into the yard because of a feud. It's a kind of a long story. But apparently, one neighbor sold on tax furniture out of his home for 15 months. And the other neighbor reported him to the Department of Revenue. And then the other neighbor responded by placing potted toilets outside facing the guy's home. So that's one way to have a neighbor fight. How interesting is it to live on that street? It's like the burbs, right? Stick with us. We got more in store.
Would the administration offer any advice on whether or not to pay a ransom?
So typically that is a private sector decision, and the administration has not offered further advice at this time. Given the rise in ransomware, that is one area we're definitely looking at now to say what should be the government's approach to ransomware actors like private, and to ransoms
that's
overall.
It's a private thing. It's a private sector. No, it's not. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Make sure you go and subscribe to the newsletter, chapter and verse. It's good. You're going to want it. I am made of comments about the situation with the Barbary pirates and the dark side criminal outfit. By the way, if you hear thunder in the background, it's because Earth is ending here in Texas. Earth is ending. Texas is closed. It'll rain, you know, like a centimeter, and no one can drive. Everything closes down. And that thunder's loud. This is the second day in a row when it's so loud, I feel like I'm getting slapped from heaven. So this, I have no idea why the White House, they think that this is a private sector decision, particularly when the president had called for a state of emergency for a number of states now where you see gas supply shortages that the New York Times says doesn't exist. And it makes me think, too, that that's still, even if, which it seemed like a little comment that was a jab at there even being the existence of a private sector or anything. And it reminded me of how people were saying that when Texas gas lines froze and everybody, you know, we were all without power for forever. And by forever, I mean like 4 days. And it still felt like I was Little House on the Prairie, Lori Ingalls, and I was going to have to go out and churn butter. That's how I feel if I don't have access to like a light and Wi-Fi. I immediately feel like it's Laura Ingalls Wilder. I don't camp because we invented the house for a reason. Okay, so, I mean, it's just... So, I was thinking about all of this, bringing it back. When she says, what is the purpose of government if it is not to protect the citizenry? I mean, that's literally an Article 1, Section 8 responsibility. And it's why, for instance, Thomas Jefferson created the Barbary Pirates, or created the Navy to go after the Barbary Pirates, because the Barbary Pirates were pillaging and plundering ships. And they... And then after the Navy was created, after all this piracy was taking place, after the Navy was created, they never ever, they marauded off the coast of Africa for so many centuries. And then after the Navy was created, they didn't mess with them. They did not mess with the U.S. Navy. It was not, they did not do it. And in fact, that's because they used to demand tributes from these merchant ships so that they could proceed without being attacked. And Jefferson was like, no, we're not going to pay a tribute. We're going to murder you. That's what's going to happen. We're going to kill you to death. And so that's what, so they stopped messing. I was murdered, but for real. And I was thinking about all of this. I'm like, that's your basic responsibility. And it's more than just a private sector decision. Have you seen the gas lines and how we're also already shipping in fuel from Europe? And then I'm going to play you Mayor Poot's soundbite here. Where's my? I have a million links. Oh boy! For those of you who get the prep, who get the $6 newsletter, I'm not even going to apologize for the prep that you're getting today. You're just going to have to suck it up because it's a lot. Reuters has the story. Traders are booking tankers in Europe to ship gas across the Atlantic after the Colonial Pipeline shutdown. Hey, by the way, guess where they get gas from and stuff? Russia. Oh, great. So we already have the pipeline shut down and we're now dependent upon, at least for some states, Russia for fuel. Great job, Biden administration. Oh, and then I realized that the private sector can outperform any kind of gas or oil that is developed from federal lands, but that gas and oil developed from federal lands still accounts for, what, 20 to 25% of production? And that's all been shut down. Good job. Slow claps here. This is Mayor Poot Buttigieg, who is, again, the Lawrence O'Donnell pronunciation. Don't you dare impugn the name of that great Shakespearean MSNBC newscaster. This was Mayor Poot Buttigieg, now Transportation Secretary, talking about infrastructure. Listen.
Bill would have protected this pipeline from a cyber attack, and whether that is central to all those things that I know some of your conservatives make fun of, things that aren't actually tangible roads and bridges.
Right. I mean, this is one more reminder that infrastructure in the U.S. means a lot more than roads and bridges, although I would remind everybody that the American Jobs Plan has a huge amount of resources to improve roads and bridges in this country, among many other things.
Look, so the truth sidebar is to this. All right. So this was not included in his original $2.25 trillion infrastructure spending package, by the way, although it has been added as a sales pitch to it. So, and it was very interesting that Biden's very careful to not mention Russia. He said, quote, I'm going to be meeting with President Putin. And so far, there's no evidence based on from our intelligence people that Russia is involved. DarkSide is a Russian cyber criminal outfit. And whenever we engage in hostilities, say with Iran, it's never Iran. It's always the Houthi. It's always some sort of, you know, proxy terror group so that Iran cannot be accused of an act of war. Because if it was Iran that was coming directly at the United States, that's exactly how it would be interpreted. And it would be, I mean, the United States at that point, because of the actions of Iran, would be prevailed upon to answer militarily. And so, I mean, it's not beyond the realm of possibility to think that this could also be occurring with Russia. And no, this was not originally, this was not, when they talk about critical infrastructure, they're talking about everything other than like actual infrastructure. Cybersecurity is treated like the ketchup or mustard on the table of national security buffet. It's like a condiment. It's like a sideline. And the FBI confirmed that DarkSide, the Russian criminal outfit, was the hacker to that. This is according to the New York Times. They said they have roots in Eastern Europe. Just say Russia. We know. Stop. Oh, it's, you know, it's Eastern. Quit it. Literally, this is, can I just read you this sentence? This is actually this is an actual sentence in the New York Times. So, as I talk with my hands and hit my mic, great job. So far, intelligence officials said all of the indications are that it was simply an act of extortion by the group, which first began to deploy such ransomware last August, and it's believed to operate from Eastern Europe, possibly Russia.
Oh, possibly.
Now, DarkSide, which sounds like a DC or Marvel character, like a really, like, not very good bad guy, like somebody who thought they came up with a cool name and it messes up, but they had said that... Oh, well, we actually didn't really mean to go after, you know, an outfit as big as Colonial or any kind of big outfit. Like, we, you know, they tried to walk it back. They didn't apologize for it. And it was very odd how they approached that. It was odd. CNBC said that the group uses these ransomware tools and sells it to other hackers. And then they put out this statement. They said, let me bring another statement. They said about the latest news under a heading on their actual website. They said, we are apolitical. We do not participate in geopolitics, do not need to tie us with a defined government and look for our motives. Our goal is to make money, not creating problems for society. From today, we introduce moderation and check each company that our partners want to encrypt to avoid social consequences in the future. And they talk about, there was a really good piece over at NBC NBC News posted, where Brett Callow, who's this analyst with the cybersecurity company and Emisoft, he said that it looked like it was meant to hit targets outside of Russia because their software was not coded to work against any kind of computer where it detected Russian language. And so if it detected any kind of like Russian or a couple of other Eastern European languages, it would auto not encrypt. Like it wouldn't encrypt. It wouldn't. His quote was, DarkSide doesn't eat in Russia. It checks the language. So they don't, you know, what where they eat. Right. That's kind of how they. But what gets me is it seems like they are trying to use Russian citizenship as a way to say, well, don't come at us. Because then you're accusing, you would be accusing Russia of, I mean, you got to be careful how you handle it, because then Putin would be like, are you accusing me? Vladimir Putin. So it's, and I honestly, this is why I think this is on purpose. If I want to put on my loose fitting tinfoil hat for a minute. And it does look like they are maybe a little concerned about having what they're doing attributed to Russia's, you know, what Russia's doing. But it's odd because the statement that they had where they were talking about how they didn't mean to go after such a, you know, a critical system or such a critical infrastructure. What they said is that, quote, if we are vitally connected to something important, they said that they hope that if vitally connected to something important, we'll be immune to ransomware. And the way that they worded it was like they were going to avoid critical or large infrastructure in the future. And so when I think of this, when I look at this, it's almost as though they're encouraging people to speculate that they're only protected if they are a part of critical infrastructure, right? Because don't you think that that's how this is going to be interpreted? That there that this that that's part of a business protection strategy now to be involved with some kind of, you know, larger, more critical infrastructure. And I think that then they'll use those smaller entities, honestly, as the vehicle to get the bigger ones. That's kind of how I look at it. The whole thing is weird to me. This seems like one of those instances where if something critical happens in the future and you look back, you know, and reflect on what were there signs that could have tipped you off, like this would be one. Does that make sense? And the administration's been very, very careful with how they've been talking about this. They've been very careful. So coming up, a couple of other things that I want to make. There's so much, guys. I just have so much for you today. You're just, like I said, get ready for the prep email. Because I wanted to get into as well some of the latest with, because so apparently just even while we've been on air, there have been other rockets that have been fired from Hamas into Israel. So we're going to discuss that, the CIA's woke stuff, and then the new pandemic porn. This is, speaking of NBC News, this is something that they came out with. This was last night, I believe. Let me look. Yeah. It said, after a year with virtually no flu, scientists worry the next season could be a bad one. Now they're trying to fearmonger over this. It's like they need something different. And then Joe Biden creates a task force about science to make sure that science and politics are separate. It's like a task force is the response for everything. So we're going to get into that. We'll also get into Plano Police, that whole situation. And I just have a lot. We're going to try to get into some media malpractice as well. So you don't want to miss a single bit of the show because, like I said, it's a packed day today.
Ditch the legacy media and unfree press by subscribing to The Dana Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
I can't believe we're already like halfway through this hour. This is insane to me. I want to go back and make sure I get this other headline in really quickly about how this is in our hometown of St. Louis. Drones, lasers. There's a new study that is looking at ways the park service there up in the Gateway Arch where they could clean the Gateway Arch. And like people were like any kind of variety of forces. Drones? I didn't actually think of that. That's actually a really good idea to clean it because the top there, they said that they may have to actually possibly refinish and conserve this, especially on the top there, that stainless steel surface. So they're talking about drones, lasers, all kinds of stuff. So that seems like the best way to do it, honestly, because nobody's going to want to get up there on that. That's just, what are you going to do? Lasso on the top of it and just like swing your way up? Like, I don't know. All right, so moving down to the other stuff. I didn't put my stuff in there on that. Let me go back up to this. You guys have to bear with me. I've got I've told you I had a million flipping things here. I think this is a really dumb case, and this comes from the New York Post. There was a Confederate flag rock that this woman like apparently has on her property near her driveway, right? Now, regardless of what, and I know that, you know, it's like a hot topic of discussion, but the woman said that she was told, well, she didn't say this, she has been told that she had to get rid of the rock or risk losing custody of her child because her child is of mixed race. Now, and this was an appellate division, third department in Albany. So this is New York, in upstate New York, actually. And it said she has, in the court documents, it said she has a small Confederate flag painted on a rock, you know, and they said that because of the ethnicity of the child that she had, her child, that it needs to be removed. Now, I would think that, a mother would make the best decision for her child anyway, but regardless, would you interpret this, move everything else out of it, what it is and everything involved, do you interpret this as the government cracking down on, this is like a court trying to control speech, is it not?
It is.
That's kind of how I look at that. No matter what is on the rock. Stay with us. We got a lot more in store.
How dare you be uninformed?
How dare you?
Let Dana get you up to speed by subscribing to the podcast on Apple Podcasts.
If you can write the rules, you can win the game. You can write the rules, you can win the game. For multiple years now, not just this year, but for multiple years now. Democrats have called this sweeping bill their top priority. You just heard the majority leader make a totally partisan speech about it. There's nothing bipartisan about this. This was cooked up at the Democratic National Committee and designed to advantage one side.
Mm. That's Mitch McConnell. That was just earlier today. There was a lot of stuff happening, by the way, today in Congress. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash, danalash.com. Make sure that you subscribe to that newsletter, Chapter and Verse, because I've got a lot of things that the prep list is going to be very long today. And I also have a piece that I'm working on for you that relates to the job situation the experimentation with universal basic income, including how it's been tried before and it's not worked. So we're going to talk about all of that and get into that. I'm watching too. The Iron Dome apparently took out a bunch more missiles that came over from Hamas to Israel just in the past half hour. And we're still continuing to, I mean, it's just crazy to, have you guys seen some of the other video of this? It is, you have the sirens going off. It's incredibly surreal to watch. You have the sirens going off and you see these rockets coming, you know, just flying in. It looks like a Star Wars space fight. And then you see these rockets being taken out by the Iron Dome, one after another, after another, after another. It is, I mean, and you can watch it right above your head. It's unbelievable to see this. And when you hear people like Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, and they are talking about, you know, keep in mind that they voted against any additional funding to help with the Iron Dome. I don't mind helping my allies defend themselves so that my enemies do not get a greater foothold and pose a greater threat to my country's national security. I am totally fine with that. I mean, you have to, and there's a reason why Israel is the only country that has to have an Iron Dome over there. If there was to be peace, all Hamas would have to do is lay down its rockets. Have you seen this video? I mean, it's like Star Wars. Look at the thing I just put in slide. It's like watching Star Wars. And you have like these like glowing orbs. If you didn't know that was an Iron Dome and like Hamas rockets, you would be like, it's aliens. We're under attack by aliens. That is amazing. That is amazing to see that. But imagine they opened all these the bomb shelters over there. I saw that actually at the start of the show. And this was just, I mean, this is just in the past, like, I think half hour that this was done. Because you never know where, I mean, if the rocket isn't intercepted, then you never know where it's actually going to land. And there's video also of one of those rockets that was just like right down the street. And you see these people that are standing outside and, you know, it looks like they're at a restaurant and they're just, you know, they're just, it, they come out of this restaurant because they hear the sirens and they hear, and I put that video in Slack, and they hear the, and this was all apparently, like I said, just in the past like 20 minutes to half hour. And there's two videos in Slack now. And they hear the sound of the Iron Dome, like taking out these other rockets. And this video, these people are standing on the street. They come out of the restaurant and then one of the rockets that wasn't intercepted, boom, right at the end of the street. Can you imagine hearing that and having and not knowing where it's going to land? But, you know, it's apparently all Israel's fault. You know, Israel, the country that actually like left, you know, the disputed territories, gave money towards infrastructure, gave money towards being able to be self-sustaining with food and everything else. And then instead of using those resources, Hamas digs tunnels and buys RPGs and all kinds of stuff. And this is just, it's, oh man. Huh? Yeah. And uses the rooftops of schools and hospitals so that so nobody can retaliate without hitting the school or the rocket. It's just like using, you know, the invalid and children, you know, people who are in the hospital getting treatment and children as human shields. It's disgusting. And the fact that, here's something else to think about. this is unbelievable, too. The State Department, their spokeswoman, who is an absolute walking disaster. This is where I'm going to start getting mad, and I don't mean to, but this is kind of unbelievable. The Washington Free Beacon had this story. They had to walk comments back from Jelena Porter because she apparently like went out on her own, and she was also said that police are the biggest security threat in America. She was asked at a press briefing about unverified and discredited. They were absolutely discredited where Israeli settlers were setting fire to Palestinian farmlands. And that was like a rumor that was made up by Hamas propaganda. And Porter said that, you know, she made a statement on Israel and they had to walk back comments for her because she blamed Israel for creating and continuing to inflame the tensions. Who launched the rockets first and who launched them for 2 days before there was any kind of retaliation? I'm sorry, but if you're sending rockets to my house, I ain't even going to wait 2 days before I blow you the hell up. I mean, I'm not going to wait 2 days. This is just, goodness. But they had to walk this back. This is our State Department spokesperson. I don't care what political persuasion you are. You cannot answer unverified stuff that is actually, it was debunked even before she answered it. But, you know, it's, you know, Fourth Estate. You can't answer unverified information like this. That's a rookie mistake. You can't be a spokesperson for the State Department and doing stuff like that. And you cannot allow your bigotry or your partisanship of the issue to guide your behavior and response in that office. Good night. Yeah, who wouldn't retaliate after you were had rockets fired at you? Who wouldn't? If somebody was shooting up your house, what would you do? You can't call anybody because you're the only person there for miles around. You got enemies all around and then the seat of your back. What are you going to do? Yeah, they had to circle back on Porter. She had to go circle back. Good night. So I mean, just something else. So we're going to continue following this story. Did you also hear, too, by the way, just a quick side note, that the Queen of England announced today that citizens have to show a photo ID to vote in the general election so they can track fraud?
Racist.
Literally, this is the Guardian. Queen's speech, because she gave a speech. Government's legislative agenda is going to include awaited reforms, etc. It says Britons will have to show a photo ID to vote in future general elections. The proposal was included in the Queen's speech. It set out the government's post-pandemic priorities, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, you have to have a photo ID to buy liquor, to rent a car, to buy a house, to get a job. And most states, in fact, I don't know of a state that charges for them. They're free. In Georgia, they're free. And you can get them, I believe, for free in Texas, too. To buy cigarettes, to buy tobacco, to get into a club, to go anywhere. To get into, you know, all of it, you have to.
I even need an ID to get a Texas ID.
I have to have an ID to buy Sudafed. And yeah. I have to, my allergist told me I have a prescription for it because I have to buy like, you know, like three boxes. So I'm not going all the time and extending my limit because during allergy season, I'm so unbelievably allergic to tree pollen. And I've been blood tested multiple times that I can't breathe and I have to take Sudafed. I have to show a photo ID just to do that, to breathe. I mean,
if I open a bank account, if I want to buy even cryptocurrency,
you got to show photo ID to get vaccinated.
To be able to put it into a regular bank account, you have to show an ID. You have to have an ID.
To get vaccines.
Yeah. That's so absurd.
So it's like, what? So I'm not opposed to it for voting because I don't want anyone's vote to be erased, no matter what side you're on. You know, if people are going away that you disagree with, that means you got to work harder to persuade people.
And who is the group of people who are wanting this to not be the case? It's always the people who want cheating to be okay. It's the people who are against this integrity.
The only cheating that I think that should be permissible is that with government theft that is called taxation. Thank you. Taxation is theft. Abolish the Fed. Thank you. So that's my libertarian rant for that portion. So we'll keep an eye on all of that stuff. As far as the gas prices go, I had something that I wanted to share with you on this as well, because apparently now they hit a new high. And I think, let's see here. So, because the White House said that they're monitoring gas shortages, and now apparently they've hit like a new, like it's the highest gas prices have been in 2 years. So, again, it's like the 70s. Gas prices are going to continue to go higher. Now, they no, sorry, 7 year. They're going to hit a 7 year high ahead of Memorial Day. So right now, technically, it's a 6 year high. Yeah. It's going to be a 7 year high ahead of Memorial Day.
But I mean, think of all the jobs lost in the actual Keystone pipeline. And not only are the gas prices highest in 6 years, but, you know, we have now gas stations out of gas.
And can I just make a quick note about the Keystone pipeline? The Keystone pipeline was only ever about transporting oil. It was never about stopping the production or collection of it. It was, do you want to transport oil on 19th century tech with a train that never goes off rails or crashes, or we've never had any oil spills from trains except when we have had a lot of them? Or do you want to put it in a pretty much like difficult to destroy pipeline like the Keystone? What is going to be better to transport? Because using a train, what do trains run on, Kane?
Yeah, they run on coal and on gas.
Yes. Diesel. So you're actually using more fossil fuels to transport it by train as opposed to pipeline.
Without a doubt.
Yes. So the Keystone pipeline was only ever about means of transport. It was never about shutting down oil production. It was only about means of transport.
It's actually way better
safer,
for the environment.
Way safer. So this, think about all the jobs that were lost with that. So now they say fuel prices are likely to hit $3 per gallon ahead of Memorial Day travel. Who's going to be getting on a plane soon? I imagine that ticket's going to go up because now, what was it, American Airlines on the Eastern Coast, they're going to be affected by this.
Yeah, prices on those tickets are going to go up. But states like Illinois and California and places like that already are enjoying almost $4 a gallon at this point.
The Colonial Pipeline is 5,500 miles. So, and we don't know... We still don't have any detail completely as to when they're going to reopen it. Their website's been shut down and all kinds of stuff. They said that if it's 5 days or longer, that will, obviously send it even. That's according to UBS Global Wealth Management. They said, it's going to send gas prices even higher. And they're already trading close to a 7 year high. And so I saw a picture of people already stockpiling. Don't be a jerk. Do not be a jerk. Okay. First off, you're not going to be for weeks without gas. I saw a picture. Somebody took a picture and video of there's a photo and then there's video, two different people who are like loading up can after can after can and stockpiling it. You're not going to be out of gas for that long. Are you kidding me? Like it's going to get, do you know why you're not going to be out of gas that long? Because God bless capitalism, because people want to make money and they are not going to allow this to be shut down. So this is going to, it will reopen. Capitalism always prevails and it has brought more freedom to people than any other form of economic theory, the end. It's going to reopen. You're not going to need to hoard gas. Don't be a jerk and run and make gas stations have to close because they don't have any more gas for anybody else. Don't be that person. It's like you people who bought all the toilet paper back when the lockdown began and then everybody had to use the cheap stuff, the one ply that they were able to get off Amazon. Don't you be those people. Don't you force people to go on one ply. Stop it. I feel like that was good to get that in my system, I'm still salty.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
Gosh, I don't know. I'm a little skeptical of getting the vaccine, but it seems to be rolling out and people are getting it, and I've got lots of friends that have done it, and not totally sure about it, but I hope it doesn't come to a point where you have to have that stamp on COVID stamp on your passport or something where to go everywhere. But if it comes down to that,
James Hetfield,
then I'll make a decision then.
So it's James Hetfield of like You Need an Introduction with Metallica, and he's like, I'm just because he was asked about if, and welcome back to the show, I'm Dana Lash. He was asked whether or not they were considering touring again soon as things are opening up, and he's like, I don't know, it's not really up to me. And he's like, it's about, the safety of people, the crew, the fans, all that stuff. And he said, you know, he was a little skeptical. He's not like a crazy tinfoil hat conspiracy theorist. This is what I've been saying. Like, reasonable people, they look at the messaging from the administration. People that, you know, you should be able to trust what people are telling you. But when you have such horrible messaging on, like, the Johnson & Johnson thing, for instance, that was the one that I was considering. If I was going to get one, that's the one that I was considering because it's a one and done. And then they came out and said, oh, my gosh, six people out of 6.5 million had clotting issues. And then they pulled it. And that makes everybody freak out. Now, if you look at the adverse side effect, if you look at the side effects of other vaccines, like, the number's way greater, but there isn't the freak out over that. And then it makes you think, okay, can I trust what they're putting out? And then there are other issues related to that. And then the AstraZeneca one that they don't even talk about. So it's reasonable people who are not at all anti-vaccine. They just want transparency. Just be honest with people and you're not going to have a problem. That's as simple as it is.
Johnson & Johnson was the one that came later in the game.
Yeah. Like,
that had the most actual
and the most
data
promise. And promise. Yeah, yeah, they really took time with that. All right, today in stupidity, Kane.
All right, Senator Schumer was talking about H.R. 1. Listen how he frames it.
We all know what the Republicans in the legislatures are doing. They're taking away that right to vote. Yes. In a democracy, when you lose an election, you're supposed to try to win over people from the other side to
good
vote.
God, yeah. It's funny how he doesn't take his own advice, mm-mm, like what Democrats should do, instead of pushing H.R. 1 down our throats.
Yeah, there you go. Folks, that does it for us today. I'll be on Hannity tonight in the, 8 p.m. Central Hour? Yes, so make sure you watch. God bless. Back with you tomorrow.